You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
You are listening to the number one horse podcast in the world. Here is your entertaining look at the horse world and the people in it.
Well, good morning, everybody. I am Glenda Geek in Ocala, Florida.
And this is Ashley Winch from Albuquerque, New Mexico. And you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for Wednesday, October 15th, episode 3797. Good morning, horse world.
Well, good morning, everybody. Wasn't I just at your house last week, Ashley?
Doesn't feel like it feels like yesterday.
I don't know how
a week has passed already.
I know. Time does fly.
You should just stay here.
You spend all that time planning for vacation and then it's over. Like quickly. I know. It's like we're flying home and I was going, didn't we just plan this the last 6 months and it's over already?
Glenn and I were both texting each other on Monday, like, can we go back to vacation?
Yeah. Well, we had all kinds of technical trouble on Monday. So it's like, welcome back. Well, today we're not going to have technical trouble. We have Dr. DeClue on. She's actually a podcaster and she's going to tell us all about shivers. We had a listener named Wendy who wanted us to ask about shivers. And it's something we've never talked about on the show, believe it or not. We're going to talk about the symptoms and is there any treatments for it. And then our local event highlight is Auditor Julie DeYoung. And she's going to share about a holiday tradition that is called the Lawrence Old Fashioned Christmas Parade, and that's in Lawrence, Kansas. So we're going to get her. I love talking about local events. If you have a local event that's horsey-related in your area, let me know. Drop me an email at glenn@horseradionetwork.com. We'll have you on. I realize that this is local and people, you know, not everybody can get there, but you know what? It's fun to hear about these local things that are horsey-related that people do. So
exactly.
I like to hear about them. So definitely let us know and we'll get you on the show. There's going to be no post-show today because Ashley and I both have meetings today, so we're going to have to get to those. But we're going to do a post-show, actually, and we're going to do it as part of the end of this show because usually when Ashley's on, we do a post-show and we talk about the network and everything. Well, Ashley, we haven't talked since you've been the new boss. Officially.
Well, you know, other than when you were here and
yes,
we were talking
but I've been
a
on the show.
About,
I've been on
not
the show.
On the show. Not
so
on
we're
going
to do that at the end and we're going to open it up to everybody, not just auditors. So we'll do that as part of the show.
A peek behind the curtain.
Jamie is still doing her clinic. She posts every day. It seems to be going great. And
yeah,
I texted
looking
her.
Like everybody's having fun.
Yeah, she said it's going terrific this time. So good for her. I know that she'll have a lot to talk about when she gets back here on Monday. Thank you. I did thank you on the show on Monday, but you weren't here for inviting us out and putting up with us for a couple of days. We really did appreciate it. Albuquerque's a cool town with unbelievable scenery.
Yeah. No, we loved having you guys. It was an absolute pleasure.
Did the little guy miss me at all? We played a lot together.
Levi loves him. We call him Funkle Glenn. He's the fun uncle. And they were just laughing and playing and it was so sweet. It was just a pleasure. I was so happy to cook for you guys.
You were, and I did thank you on Monday for the good meals because you're a great cook. So
I love it. It was just so fun. You know, we spend so much time together virtually and not that much time together IRL. And so it was almost like surreal. You know, we'd wake up in the morning and like have coffee together, like normal people.
That's right.
Like, this is so weird.
And I actually got to see your husband, which we never get to talk to him either. So
I know. You guys even went out and did your own boys' hike.
Yeah. He tried to kill us. He did that.
Well.
Ray and I, who are from flat, you know, 100 feet elevation, climbing to 7,000 feet. But yeah, it was fun. We had a great time there and we had a great time. The Balloon Festival was a lot of fun. We had the
really
perfect
neat.
Morning for it.
Yep.
And we got to, you know, we hung out in front of the largest cow that anybody's ever seen. And the cow
is my favorite picture. Yeah,
the cow actually got off the ground, which was about the size of three regular balloons.
It was huge.
And it didn't go very far, which I can understand because it was enormous. It was just enormous. But there are so many fun balloons there and it was just a perfect day to go. It really was.
Yeah. It was really spectacular. And I'm so glad that we were able to experience that all together because this time next year, we will no longer be in Albuquerque.
Yeah, you don't know where you're going to be assigned next. If you don't know, Ashley's husband is in the Air Force and he has to move every once in a while.
Yep.
So you put in for your assignments, but you'll find out when beginning in November.
Yeah, I think like 3 weeks.
When will you move then? Middle of next year?
Next summer. Okay. Next summer. So I just don't know if that means May, June, July, but it'll be next, which is why I can't go on the cruise.
Right. Because you don't know when you're moving.
Rude.
Darn Air Force. And I got to see him in uniform for the first time. I've never seen him either. So it's like weird seeing him in uniform because I'm not, that's not my picture, right? So.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Like, oh, whoa. He is a serious dude with a serious
He actually has a lot of stripes and things. So there's that. What's his rank again?
He's a captain. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So there you go. People actually have to like salute him. And things.
Yeah, and it makes me laugh. I'm not.
I bet it does. Because there's no saluting at your house.
No, if anything, he's saluting me. Let's be honest here, okay?
He was kind of, actually. That was kind of the pecking order at home. Levi first, Ashley second, husband third. That's the way
exactly
it went.
Right. Yep.
All right, let's do some Daily Winnies. Happy birthday to Lisa Grunewald, who's one of our terrific auditors, also Yvonne, and one of our favorite eventers, Jessica Phoenix. Happy birthday to her. Well, she's one of my favorite eventers. So happy birthday, Jessica, too. And your turn.
Well, that's a new one. I think that's Baby Butters.
That's Butters.
Oh, I like it.
Yeah, that's Butters.
I like it. Well, my Daily Winnie goes out to our newest auditor, Amanda Morse. Welcome to the best part of the internet.
And Amanda did join the Facebook page already. So thank you for that, Amanda. And thank you for supporting us and for supporting the hosts. The hosts do get part of the money that's donated every month, gets kicked back to Jamie and some of the other hosts on the Horse Radio Network. So thank you for that, Amanda. We do appreciate it. I have a couple of news stories here if you want to do those, Ashley.
Yeah, let's do it.
The dispersal of the D. Wayne Lucas estate, or part of it, there were 409 items. Of course, D. Wayne Lucas, one of the most famous trainers, thoroughbred trainers of all time. I was surprised they got this together so quickly, to be honest.
Honestly, really, yeah. Because you got to imagine, he had a lot of stuff.
Well, they had 409 items in this auction, and I'm sure that wasn't all of it. There were all kinds of things, from halters to all of his signage from around the barns. Which,
oh my gosh.
It must have been 100 signs from all his different barns. And, you know, that's kind of a cool thing to buy. And they did go for $700 to maybe $2,000-$3,000 just for a little wooden signs that has name on it.
Wow.
One of the highest signs.
Piece of history.
Yeah. One of the highest signs was his parking spot from, I think it was Keeneland or somewhere. And it's Dean Wade and Lucas Parking. And that one went for a couple thousand dollars. But I have the highest items here, one of the four highest items. You want to hear those?
Sure do.
And these sold. This ended yesterday, I think. So the Longines Kentucky Oaks 148 watch. That was for a horse by the name of Secret Oath. And I think it had the horse etched on it or something. It was $8,100.
Oh my gosh.
His saddle, a Powder River saddle, 17-inch with Sierra silver and a bridle and bit. Are you ready for this? $55,000. I'm not sure why. He had other saddles, and the other set. There was another saddle that went for like $8,000, and one for that went for $3,000-$4,000. I don't know why this one went so high. So if somebody could explain that, let me know. $55,000.
Oh my God! Somebody like, how many horses could I get for that?
Yeah. Not honestly, too many in his league. But
no.
His personal men's Rolex watch, the one he wore all the time. You ready? $24,000 for that.
I mean, honestly, for a Rolex, that's a pretty good deal.
Yeah, and it was one he wore, so you're getting
you get all the good luck, you know, that's been worn into it.
If you're the guy who can afford a $24,000 Rolex, D. Wayne Lucas's, do you wear it or do you display it?
Oh, I wear it. And like before I even introduce myself, instead of like putting my
hand
out
and shake,
I'm like, oh,
here's my
this
wrist.
Whole thing, this is his watch. Oh, and by the way, my name's Ashlyn.
Yeah. I paid $24,000 for this. He had a pair of his own personal custom spurs that did have his initials on them. It went for $8,600. I can, you know, that's kind of a cool thing, you know, because you put it in a box and you hang it on the wall, right? And you have a plaque. But there were halters from some of his horses over the years, and his saddle trunks and his tack trunks for over the years, wooden ones. There were all kinds of plaques for his horses. So, you know, there was some cool memorabilia there that I didn't see a total of what the sale was total, but I'm sure it was over $1 million.
I mean, there's some boots and hats. Yeah, it's everything.
There was all kinds of stuff in there. So, yeah. So there's somebody got some memorabilia out of that. There, of all 400 items that went
up
for sale.
Did anybody tell Jamie? I know she's having her clinic, but did
I know she saw it. Okay. She didn't tell me if she bought anything, and probably because she didn't want Chad to know, because nothing went cheap. So anyway, that was the first news story I had for you. Second was, this happened out of Australia. We have a lot of listeners in Australia. A record-breaking event happened in Australia. The previous records happened in Canada and Australia. So they broke one of their own records, and it was the number of horses that were hitched to a wagon.
Oh, and my.
It was 62. The previous record was 50. There was a 50-horse hitch in Canada in 1995 and a 50-horse hitch in Queensland, Australia in the 1980s. And they broke that by hooking up 62 draft horses harnessed in a single team, which means that it was all driven by the driver, by one driver.
Oh, my God.
And that was October 4th, 2025, and that was at the Good Old Days Festival. Talk about a local event that'd be fun to go to.
Yeah, really?
The Good Old Days Festival at the Burrellin Showgrounds in New South Wales, Australia. There's one to add to your list. It saw 62 heavy horses, including Clydesdales, Australian Drafts, Suffolk Punches, Shires, and they were hitched to an antique Bennett wagon loaded with 6 tons of wool.
Oh, my gosh.
The team was guided solely by voice commands and from three experienced teamsters, Bruce Bandy, Steve Johnson, and Alex Berzins. They were the drivers, quote unquote, and they were all voice controlled. All those horses usually are that are in those teams. But I saw a video of it. It's something to see. And they turned and did everything you would expect them to do. It was quite a video to see. I'll post a link to it in the show notes so that you can all watch the video of 62 horses pulling a wagon.
I mean, it's unreal. It's unreal.
It is unreal.
I'm looking at the article now, and I love the end line. It says, Mr. Johnson said, after a few months preparation, it's time to celebrate. I'm sure there will be a few drinks tonight, and the horses will have more hay.
They are Australian. I guarantee you there's going to be a few drinks. So there you go. A third story I have for you is nothing horse related, but for all of you cancer survivors out there like me, and I know there's a lot of you that listen to this show, we have some hope. University of Florida scientists have developed a groundbreaking mRNA cancer vaccine. I'm just going to read this because I think it's so important. Scientists at the University of Florida have created an mRNA cancer vaccine that could revolutionize cancer treatment. Unlike chemotherapy, this vaccine trains the immune system to recognize and destroy cancer cells without the side effects. The vaccine activates the body's natural defenses, triggering immune responses to attack multiple tumor areas simultaneously. It also forces cancer cells to expose themselves by producing a protein that alerts the immune system to their presence. So it wakes them up, forces them to display this protein, which then allows your own immune system to attack it. That's pretty cool. In preclinical trials on mice, the vaccine not only eliminated tough tumors, but also prevented them from reoccurring. Because that's another problem. You know, you get cancer, you get, quote unquote, you go into remission. None of us are ever cured once you have it.
Right, right.
But you always have the threat, and we always think about this as cancer survivors, of it coming back. You're thinking about it all the time.
Sure,
it just doesn't go out of your brain, right? So they're going to do human trials next. And if this works, I mean, this is revolutionary for cancer therapy. So fingers crossed that this one actually works.
And I mean, just think about longevity.
Yep.
I mean, this is crazy.
It's a whole different ballgame if they actually... Now, you said before the show that you actually read something similar happening in China too, right?
Yes. I just read that. I thought it was the same report, but they're just different labs working on similar things. So
let's hope one of them figures it out, right?
Yeah, no kidding.
I actually hope the University of Florida figures it out because it's right here and, you know... I want the Americans to be figuring it out. But I'm partial. They live right, literally down the street from the University of Florida. I live 11 miles. I ride my bike through there sometimes. So why don't you talk to us about State Line Tack, and then we're going to get to our first guest.
Horse lovers, are you ready to maximize your savings? Then listen up. The State Line Tack Rewards Program is your ticket to exclusive deals and discounts. Joining is absolutely free, and you'll earn points with every purchase. These points unlock member-only coupons, special promotions, and early access to their biggest sales. Plus, you'll be automatically entered into monthly prize drawings. And who doesn't love winning free stuff? Come on. Redeem your hard-earned points for discounts on everything State Line Tack offers. Saddles, bridles, riding apparel, stable supplies, and more. Don't miss out on these incredible savings. Visit statelinetack.com to sign up today and start earning rewards. And as always, don't forget our HRN coupon code that gets you 25% off any $49 order. Enter coupon code HRN at checkout. Please note that some products are not eligible for the additional discount due to manufacturer restrictions, and these are noted in your shopping cart.
Yeah, just put all the stuff in your shopping cart, put the code in, and it tells you which ones get what.
Yes, that's how I love to shop. And then I like to pretend that I'm really rich and can afford it all. Then I take it all out of the cart.
Well, next up, we have one of our terrific auditors, Julie DeYoung, is joining us to talk about something really fun. You know, Julie, I think you responded to this partly because I asked for our listeners to tell us about local events that happen in areas. We love local events. Jennifer and I visit every local event around here. And look, we even flew to Albuquerque to hang out with Ashley to see a balloon festival. So, but you have a local event out there in Kansas. Tell us about it that you help with.
Yeah, it's the Lawrence Old Fashioned Christmas Parade, and it happens the first Saturday in December every year at 11 a.m. And this year will be the 32nd occurrence of the parade, December 6th. And while it is local, we draw participants from 5 states, and we do have spectators come from quite a surrounding area who make a whole weekend of it. So it is local, but also, I guess we call it regional. It was actually listed by USA Today as one of the top Christmas destinations a few years back. And Lawrence itself is one of the sort of best destinations in Kansas, being the home of the University of Kansas and having a lot of Civil War historic aspects as well. So it's really a special event. It is all horse-drawn, no vehicles, no marching bands, no fire trucks with sirens. And we do require the entries to be historically accurate. And then we recommend or request either historic or holiday attire and decorations. So it's really festive and really pays tribute to the role of horses in the history and transportation and just, you know, America in general.
So this is an all horse parade then, pretty much, right?
It is. Yeah. It's one of the few. All horses, riding horses as well as driving. The emphasis is on the driving, but we have everything from minis to draft horses, donkeys, mules, light horses, all the breeds, Percherons, Belgians, Halflingers, spotted drafts, quarter horses, Appaloosas. Like I said, It's a mix of everything. And we have about 50 to 60 entries every year. And again, the majority of them are horse-drawn. So they're teams or singles pulling carts, doctor's buggies, carriages, a governor's cart, stagecoaches, chuck wagons. There's a prison wagon that shows up every couple of years.
Uh-oh. Yeah. I know where I'd be.
So it's really, it's special. It's something that if you are into horses, I think it should be a bucket list destination for wherever you are, because again, we're an hour from Kansas City. You can fly into Kansas City and be in Lawrence for the weekend and do a whole host of shopping, dining, holiday activities, including the parade. So it is special. And that's why I wanted to really have a chance to come on here and tell people about it. And of course, we are always looking for entries. So if there's anybody, you know, within driving distance that would like to participate, we'd love to have you enter.
I was looking at all the pictures, Julie, on the website. You have 1,000 pictures on the website. And a couple things that struck me. One is it's Christmas time, so it's fun, and everybody's bundled up, right?
It's like so cozy.
Yeah, it is. And then the other thing is you do get a lot of spectators. They have a horse parade here in Ocala. It's not a Christmas time. Matter of fact, it just happened a little while ago. And there's not a tenth of the people that show up to your parade.
I mean, these are people flooding the streets.
Yeah.
Yeah. We have 30 to 40,000 people.
Wow.
And actually the parade route actually starts out at the county fairgrounds, which is about 3 miles from downtown Lawrence, and which is good because it's December and horses maybe not have been ridden or worked as much. So they can be a little fresh. So it gives a nice chance for them to settle down before they
get out their wiggles.
The parade route. But what's happened is all along between the fairgrounds and downtown is people gather in parks and parking lots and they tailgate in their yards all along the route. So while the official route is in downtown Lawrence, down Massachusetts Street, both going to and from the fairgrounds, people are lining the route. So it's probably even more than that because we don't really count those attendees. So yeah.
You don't count the freeloaders on the outskirts.
Having mimosas on the balcony.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, they do. They're out there. They're kind of bundled up. They usually have the fire pit going and they're having drinks and brunch, you know, and they wave and, you know, as we go by. And it's really very fun.
Okay. You know, Julie, I'm bummed. I lived in Missouri for 3 years at Whiteman Air Force Base, not far from Lawrence, and I missed this somehow.
Oh, gosh. Well, if you ever come back to the area or make it a special trip, like I said.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah.
Well, so I have to ask you, and I'll tell my story here shortly, but about the last time I was in a parade with horses and how well it went. So there have to have been funny things that happened over the years. You got to have a story or two.
Well, I
because we all know horses are horses.
Yeah. So we have a dinner. So actually, a couple of things. Well, one, we do a dinner for all of the participants the night before the parade. So we have a barbecue dinner and a dance, and stories get swapped, as you can imagine, that evening. But even the night before that, we have a group of outriders that come in from actually Nebraska and Western Kansas. A lot of our outriders are cowboys come in from ranches in Western Kansas to help us out. And so they go along within the teams and make sure in case there's any trouble, right? So they're there if a team starts to get out of hand to step in and help and to keep everybody safe. Also, our Shawnee County Mounted Posse does a great job of that as well. But anyway, so yeah, there have been a few times when maybe, you know, a team's gotten out of hand and maybe there was a car parked along the route that didn't come away unscathed. But we have been quite fortunate.
How do you explain that to the insurance State Farm? I got sideswiped by a carriage.
Yeah, sideswiped actually up over one once.
Ooh, that's good.
Oh my.
But luckily, no, I don't think we've ever had a serious injury or any injuries, actually. We've had, and some equipment malfunctions maybe and had to go back to the fairgrounds. But that is one of the advantages of having that long lead up to get downtown is usually most of those things resolve themselves one way or another before we get there.
Well, you know, the nice thing about having it be a horse parade as opposed to horses in a parade is you don't have the things that tend to spook horses in a parade, which is the band right behind them, or the very loud float right behind them, or the float that's shooting off fireworks right behind them, right? So
exactly.
You can avoid all of that stuff that normally causes the problems in a parade and causes horses to go nuts.
So I generally ride with our local saddle club, and we ride in other parades during the year as well that aren't all horse parades. And the new thing that we had to deal with last year was somebody flying a drone low.
Over. Oh, yeah.
So that's, you know, so yeah, so new hazards do come up, but we don't have to deal with, like you said, the fire truck sirens or the marching bands and things like that just the jingle bells and the jingle of the harness and the clattering of the big wagons that some horses maybe aren't used to. But again, they're usually able to get over that at the fairgrounds before we head out on the route. So
years ago when I lived in Lexington, they also have a horse parade in the next town up from Lexington, Kentucky, and they have it every year. And Dr. Wendy was living there at the time, and she was, you know, she was a four-in-hand carriage driver up to the top levels, international levels. And she said, well, let's go do the carriage parade with four of my horses and, you know, pull the carriage. And I said, okay, I'll go along. And it was Jennifer and I, and she had a helper along. And we get to the beginning of the parade, and the horses wanted none of it. They may have been competition horses used to a crowd, but they weren't used to this crowd. And in that particular parade, you had to drive through all of the vendors that were set up for selling, you know, everything that they sell at a fair. And then at the end were the rides. And you drove through all of it.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, these four horses were not having any parts of it. And I really thought we were going to kill children along the way. Finally, we bailed out on a side road. I hopped out and I said, okay, she said, hop out and go to the front of the horses. And by the way, she had some fairly, you know, good sized horses. And the last place I wanted to be was in front of them. And I managed to clear up a spot. Everybody moved out of the way when they saw it was coming and we got down a side street. They were all sitting there and we managed to get them cleared out before they killed anybody. And we got out of the parade. And that was my last experience of being in a parade with horses. And I've been traumatized for life. But maybe, Julie, yours would be safer. I could do it again sometime.
Well, I hope so. We come down, you go up a side street to Massachusetts. And then when you come around the corner to head down Massachusetts Street, and as you saw in the photos, the sidewalks are just jammed with people. And it is a sight. There is some noise. And so some of the horses, you know, they start to prance. It's like they're aware that they're in the spotlight. But we put chalk lines down both sides of the street and the spectators have to stay behind those. And I mentioned the outriders. And
did you explain to the horses ahead of time that they have to stay behind those?
They do a remarkable job. And we've talked about, is once in a while we have two horse hitches. Mostly we've had some four horse hitches. We've talked about, you know, would love to get some six horse hitches there. That corner might be a little tight, you know, but then we talk about the hitches and one of our committee members who's a draft horse driver herself, she said, you know, it's one thing to have those big hitches in an arena where they really can't go anywhere. And it's another thing to maybe have them out on a street with, you know, so that, you know, not every team, not every hitch is a parade hitch. So that's something we try to keep in mind. And again, that's part of the role of the outriders. And we actually do have folks checking all on the route to make sure folks can be safe when we get there. So, but we have entries that have been coming almost every year. So, and we have, it's now become multi-generational. So the kids that started coming, we have one outrider whose family still comes. He started coming, he was five. He's 30 now. His family still comes and participates. We have another entry that I think they've been in about 10 years now. The first parade, she was pregnant with their first child, and they now have four kids, and they're all in the wagon with them. And so it's become a family tradition for many of the entries, but also for spectators. And a lot of people that come tell us that it's a family tradition. It's how they kick off the holiday season. And they'll have two and three generations of the family come and spend the day, come to the parade, and then go to downtown Lawrence Christmas shopping, or they go to breakfast before, or they go for lunch afterwards. There's a large holiday craft fair that the city of Lawrence puts on that same day. So there's a lot of things going on around the parade to really make a full day and weekend out of it.
Oh, what fun. This is great. So they can go to lawrencechristmasparade.org is the website to find out all the details. What's the date this year?
December 6th, Saturday, right. December 6th.
Saturday, yep. December 6th. All right, very good. And I'm sure all the details are on the website about where to park and all that stuff, too. So
yeah, they are. Yeah. And then for more general Lawrence tourism information, explorelawrence.com is a great website. And they have the full list of all weekend activities, lodging, all that kind of good stuff, explorelawrence.com.
Very good. Well, Julie, we appreciate you doing this for us. And thank you for being an auditor also and a listener to the show. We appreciate that also.
Sure. You're very welcome. Hope to see you guys at the parade sometime.
Well, Daily Dose Equine offers a full line of handcrafted horse feeds to maximize the health and performance of horses and ponies of all ages. Each custom feed has been developed with whole grains and non-GMO ingredients to eliminate the risk of herbicide contamination. Daily Dose Equine are horse people, and they have seen firsthand the difference that superior nutrition can render in your equine partners. At Daily Dose Equine, they never forget that natural is better and simplicity is key. To learn more, go to dailydoseequine.com. And you can buy it right at Tractor Supply or at Chewy. So go to either one of those and you can buy your Daily Dose Equine products right there.
So we recently had a listener, Wendy, ask us to have someone on the show to talk about shivers. I'm so excited to welcome Dr. DeClue from Ocala, Florida. Audrey is with DeClue Equine LLC and is an equine sports medicine and rehabilitation vet and the host of the Horse First podcast. Welcome to the show, Audrey.
Thanks so much. I really appreciate you guys having me on the show.
Well, I have to ask you first and foremost, what exactly is shivers? Because to me, this sounds like some Victorian fainting spell disease.
But you should be able to cure it with something out of a bottle that's
with
green.
A tincture.
Yeah, exactly.
I wish, right? So all shivers is just a layman's term for what we see clinically in a horse that looks like they have severe muscle tremors, shivering. But what it really is actually a movement disorder. And a movement disorder involves, it can be part of your brain and spinal cord, like in Parkinson's, or like a spinal cord injury where it creates dystonia, where you have muscle contraction caused by a central nervous system problem. Or in the case of shivers, it's nerve damage that leads to kind of a motor dysfunction of your muscles, such as, you know, you'll see muscle weakness or other kind of muscle related problems with dexterity or just movement, like bringing your leg forward or anything. So it's classified as a movement disorder clinically, and that involves a lot of things, your whole entire body. But it's just differentiating which category is it? Is it in the central nervous system with the brain and spinal cord, or is it outside the spinal cord and brain? And with shivers, we see it in all species. So all equid species, okay? Right. So horses. So that includes donkeys, mules, miniature horses, hackney ponies, any kind of pony, warm bloods, pacifinos, any type of equine species, we see shivers and clinical signs of string halt in these horses. And the common denominator why we don't classify humans as having, quote, shivering, besides what you just said, is because horses are different than other species because they have a stay apparatus.
Tell me more about this stay apparatus.
So the stay apparatus allows horses to sleep standing up.
Mm-hmm.
And so what happens with horses with shivers is, number one, I have to say, just like with a human, if you have a severe muscle spasm, right, or you have a muscle strain, it is very painful. And these horses actually shiver. They raise their leg, bring it away from their body in their hind legs, and they shiver very severely. I'm a history. I always do a lot of research. And if you just give me 1 second, I'd like to just give you a little historical perspective about this.
We love history. You are talking to the right people.
Okay. So the veterinary profession was established in Lyon, France in 1761. Okay. Veterinary medicine has been practiced since then, even as far back as 3000 BCE. And in China, they called horse veterinarians actually horse priests, where they used acupuncture and herbs and all that stuff. And so I'm a numbers buff. I'm all about data. And so the veterinary profession has been actually known since 1959 how many veterinarians there have been in the world. And if you go from 1959 all the way to 2025, there's been approximately 600,000 vets per year, and which is about 39 million for worldwide since that time. So 4%, 3 to 4% are equine, strictly equine veterinarians, which is about 1.6 veterinarians, okay? In all this time, 1.6 million veterinarians since 1959 to now, and previous, like this doesn't include previous. Nobody's been able to figure this out.
Wow. Horses were the...
Yes, this is an interesting fact to me. So in 1880s, there was a guy named William Mitchell and William Williams. In the 1800s to 1930, there are three people, William Williams, William Mitchell, and J.R. McCall.
Oh, thank These God the first one, the third one wasn't a William. I was going to lose my mind.
I know, right? When I'm doing the research, it's really interesting. So these guys actually wrote, and you can look it up and find it. They published their thoughts on what's causing shivers and string halt in horses. And their hypothesis, I didn't find this out until I'd already been treating horses for years. They had the same hypothesis that I did without knowing what the cause was. And so what happened was, as the Industrial Revolution started, second Industrial Revolution, there's cars and everything else, the amount of shivers and string halt, which was they considered as common as dirt, started dropping off. Well, as the sport horse industry started coming into prevalence in the 1980s, so did the amount of shivers and string halt, that especially shivers that we saw in sport horses. And then in the 2000s, when the sport horse industry is at its becoming at its highest peak, 2010, that's when people are like, we got to figure this out. So what happened was, there was a paper that came out in 2015 called and the title of the paper is "The Equine Movement Disorder Shivers is Associated with Selective Cerebellar Purkinje Cell Axonal Degeneration." I know that sounds confusing. The first time I read the paper, I was like, oh my God, I can't read this. But what it means is that they're saying that the cause of shivers in horses is in the cerebellum,
which is the part of the brain that controls more motor function.
Correct. But it was only over 5 shivers horses.
So a very small sample size.
Right. And it wasn't even the phenotype of the horses that they say have shivers, which is draft horses and big horses. It was 4 warm bloods and 1 thoroughbred. But the thing is, if you're a veterinarian, and if you're even if you're a doctor, right, anyone, the 1.6 million veterinarians that are veterinarians since 1959 to the current, everybody knows, they should know at least, the cerebellum does not directly move muscles. It doesn't control muscles. What it does instead, it's like this little control center, right, that coordinates voluntary movements, which means, you see what I mean? Like, it refines your movements. It's like this fine-tuning little thing, like how we used to do the ears on the television, right, to get a channel in.
Right.
That's what it does. It doesn't switch the channels, or it doesn't, right? It just fine tunes. And not only just fine tuning it, but the sequencing of the muscle contractions, which helps you with your balance, with your posture, and also with motor learning. So if the cerebellum is damaged, it only affects motor coordination, which means you don't walk, you don't have good balance. If you're human, you slur your speech, besides if you drink alcohol, that's not the cause, but, you know, but also motor tremors, like you would have tremors. So if it's a horse, okay, that has shivers, the thing is that if it's a cerebellar lesion, it affects the entire body. So shivers horses usually have shivers in one leg. So how can it be a cerebellar lesion? And even if it, if
okay, you're asking more questions than you're answering here, Doc.
I know. These questions are logical. And so if, say, for example, you know, it's in the cerebellum, your control center of your fine motor movement, and that affects your entire body, there's no possible way that a shivers horse that has it in one leg could be in the cerebellum.
So we're, before we run out of time though, I got to find out, is there any treatment at all?
Yes. But most importantly, Glenn, what is the cause?
Yeah. I don't know that we have time to get into that.
Well, we need to just real briefly.
Okay.
So the cause is the iliopsoas muscle, and the iliopsoas is the tenderloin that we eat, the filet mignon. And it's the only muscle under the spine.
Okay.
And that muscle has a thick iliac fascia that compresses, when it's injured, compresses the ventral nerve roots coming off the spinal cord, or the plexus, which goes back to the electrical part, the wiring. And that is what is responsible for creating the clinical signs. And to answer your question, yes, there is a treatment, but it's not a cure. Right. If these horses are injured, a lot of horses have iliopsoas injuries, but they don't have shivers clinical signs. And so the difference is that there's nerve damage versus non-nerve damage. So just the muscles involved, the iliopsoas is involved versus the iliopsoas with swelling, pushing up on the nerves and compressing the nerves. So one is just a muscle problem. The other is a muscle with a nerve problem, creating the clinical signs.
Being a person who has nerve problems, I hate to hear that because they're so difficult to make better.
So that's the thing. It's a very good point, Glenn. So this is a management issue. If I can treat the horses as soon as they develop the clinical signs of shivers or string halt, I can pretty much, quote, get rid of the clinical signs. But for months and months and months, as you know, for months and months, I have to treat the nerve problem because there's nerve damage, which takes a very long time to heal. So this is a
management issue. And is that reducing inflammation? Is that how you do it?
Yes, it's all ultrasound-guided technique, and okay. I'm actually with another couple of veterinarians. We're working on a surgical technique for horses that have chronic, quote, shivers clinical signs. And so the thing is, the good news is, there is a treatment, but it is not a cure, right, there, except for acute cases.
You're just making them more comfortable, basically.
Not just comfortable, but yes, you're calming the nervous system down and you're getting rid of the spasm in the iliopsoas. And so then you can manage these things, right? And the horses can live a healthy life.
And are they productive after that? They can compete and everything or not?
They're competing even with shivers, okay. Glenn.
Yeah.
The thing is this is always progressive, as you know. If you don't take care of a nerve problem, it's always progressive, right? It doesn't get better without you doing something about it. So that's what I mean. That is the good news for this. The history is just the history. But it's also to realize that nobody else has figured this out. And I, unfortunately, when that paper came out in 2015, I had to do something. Or, Glenn, nobody would know who I am.
Yeah.
I did this to save these horses. And I could not believe that the veterinary profession accepted that paper as the gold standard. And so that's
okay. The person that wrote it can't even believe it.
That's funny. No, they can because they're still believing it.
No, but I meant you couldn't believe it. You were like, I can't believe they accepted that. I mean, that says something.
No, that's exactly right, Glenn. That's why I could not believe that this is possible, right? Which is why people know who I am, which is why I started the podcast.
By the way, that's called the Horse First Podcast. I wanted to give a plug in there, and you can find it on all your podcast players. That's where I found it. And it's also on your website, which is declue-equine.com. So, so to wrap it up, you're controlling it at this point. If we're going to control those spasms and all of that, it's done through medication or both?
It's a treatment technique, yes.
Yeah, okay.
It's an ultrasound-guided treatment technique that I developed. Yeah. So, and I'm traveling, training, teaching veterinarians. It's not something everybody can do, right? It's very technical.
Do most of the vets have the ultrasound machine they need to do it? I know they have ultrasound machines, but do they have it?
Not everybody. No. Okay. So that's part of the issue. It's, not everybody is going to be able to do it, but I can teach people about it, which is my goal. I'm working on a couple papers to get published here. So, I lived in my own little perfect bubble, and unfortunately now I'm outside of my little bubble, and all I care about is the horses and helping them and managing an injury that can be prevented and treated and managed. But that's what's important to me, instead of everybody believing that there's nothing they can do, because the truth is people believe there's no hope, and I had to step outside of my bubble and give people hope that these horses can be fixed and treated. And that's my main objective.
Well, good for you, because it sounds like not too many others believe that. So, I mean, that's, we have enough problems with horses, let alone ones that we think we can't fix that maybe could be at least managed, right? So,
correct.
Yeah.
And it's a prevention, and we didn't go into that, which is not important, but it is prevention too, which is what I try to educate veterinarians on. So, but my goal is always, putting the horse first and doing what's right for them. And, this is one of my biggest issues, is a profession accepting something over five horses that logically doesn't make any sense, as you guys can understand just by me explaining it in a very short manner.
Well, they can. I'm sure you've covered this on your show, right? So,
yes.
The Horse First podcast is where you can find it. Where are you located, Doc?
Ocala. Please don't call me Doc. Just call me Audrey. Ocala, Florida.
Okay.
So, yeah.
All right. Sounds good. You're right down the street from me. And it's Declue, DECLUE-equine.com is the website. And you actually, you'll find a podcast on there too and all the other information. We do appreciate you joining us today. Thanks for Claire. I hope Wendy, you know, has some context now and maybe can ask her veterinarian about it too.
Yeah. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Well, this is a section that we're going to do here at the end of the show that we normally would put in the auditor post show for the auditors, but I thought we'd give it to everybody today. And
okay,
that is,
well,
we're
I just
I
can't cuss.
And we don't have anything written
now,
down
right?
here. I'm putting Ashley on the spot. Yeah, we can't swear. That's the only thing we can't do.
That's the difference.
So you took over basically a month ago as the boss, but it was official on October 1st.
Right.
That's when I officially stepped back.
Officially.
And now I'm just doing horses in the morning and you're running the whole network. Which means that, one, I got to tell you, my number of emails has dropped about 75%, which means I know yours has increased about 75%.
Yeah, there's a lot of emails. You know, it's funny that what has changed are mostly the amount of pitches that I get.
Oh,
I would say I'm getting a lot of people coming out of the woodwork for either wanting to be a guest or a show idea.
And that's great if they're horse people. But what we get is pitches.
Yeah.
I get this. I have this lady who's a dentist that's trying to get out on podcasts to talk about dentistry because she does research or whatever. She has sent me at least 10 emails, contacted me on LinkedIn, and I normally ignore them, hoping they'll go away. Because
right.
once you engage, you're in trouble. But I had to. I said, look, we're a podcast. Do you do anything about horses' teeth? And she said, no, I'm a people dentist. I said, well, then I don't. Sorry.
Right. Like, you know, who are you pitching
we
here?
We get these weirdest ones.
they would not leave me alone. And so I contacted the host of the show they wanted to be on. And the host basically was like, LOL, they've already been on our show. Okay.
Or anyway, they want to talk to you about things that aren't horse related. They're just totally not horsey. And it's like they didn't even look at the name of the show. Ours is pretty clear, Horses in the Morning. It's about horses, right?
Come on, guys.
It's pretty clear.
Well, and I have seen there's a new AI program that does podcast guest pitching automatically.
Oh, no.
And I'm wondering if that's what's, I'm wondering if that's what's killing us.
It's going to get worse. It's just,
You
know, occasionally I do have guests on, like last Friday, you know, when I had did the one-on-one with Tina. But, you know, Tina's been a friend for years. I like her. We, you know, she's a fellow improv performer. We've worked together on improv stuff. And I just wanted to have her on because I wanted to have her on. You know?
And it's your show. You can do that.
And I'm going to occasionally do that more. And I know not all of you are interested in her kind of content, but I was surprised at the number of auditors that posted that they thoroughly enjoyed her interview and didn't think
they
would.
There was a lot of positive about that interview. And it looks like everybody really enjoyed Jamie and Tad's conversation.
That was the best interview Jamie's ever done. And I'm going to put that one up for awards next year because
that was
an excellent interview she did. I was so proud of her that day.
Aww.
But number of emails. You're getting all mine now. Thank you for that. I appreciate it. The other thing you now have to deal with you didn't have to deal with before was budgets. And I know you had your first budget meeting, so that's always fun.
you guys, I'm just going to be real. And this is how it is in the auditor room, because I'm just here talking to my friends. There's a reason that I talk for a living and don't live in spreadsheets.
Although I will say one thing that I have had to live in spreadsheets, right? One thing that AI has helped with is spreadsheets. And I will tell you that I am using AI more often now with help with spreadsheets and things like
that.
Oh, yeah. Because you can say, you know, add column 9. You just tell AI, add column
Instead
9
of doing
to column
the functions
4.
Yourself.
Because I don't know how to do those functions. So you can get AI to do stuff that you couldn't get it to do before.
Can I just get AI to attend my budget meetings and lead them?
Yeah, I'm
like
sure the boss
would
love
that. I could train it to have my voice, and I'll just be like, oopsie, I'm camera off, and I'll just let AI run the whole meeting.
You know, it'll I will say, you have a good boss. She's also my boss, yes. I guess, roundabout. But she was my boss for the last 3 years, and she's terrific. So
she's fantastic.
She's been absolutely wonderful to work with and for, which made my transition so much easier over the last 3 years. But, you know, that is one good thing is she's terrific, and that makes it a little easier to go through those meetings.
It does. It does. I mean, you know me. I was, of course, cracking jokes left, right, and center, which I'm sure you're not supposed to do in budget meetings, but I was bored. So yeah.
I also know you, and I also know you were very prepared for it because Ashley's very prepared for whatever she does. So
yes,
I know you were more prepared than I ever was. So So now you're also taking on new responsibilities in that part of what Ashley does. There's a lot of things you don't see behind hosting, right? Beside hosting shows. You host a couple of your own shows you have to prepare for. But you're also dealing with all the sponsor stuff now. And that may not seem like a lot, but she coordinates all the sponsor, the text, the ads, making sure the social media gets done for all the shows. And that's a lot of sponsors.
Yeah, that's a big one. It's a interesting transition because I feel like before I knew everything existed, right? I just didn't, I like tasted it instead of having the whole plate. And now it's like a 12 course meal and right. I'm full.
Right. 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 Or I was doing part of it and then, you know, slowly right. pushing it off onto you.
Right.
But, and you know, we were lucky to have that transition period too.
Oh, yes.
A lot of people don't get that.
I mean, Glenn is absolutely lovely in that he's still supportive when I have questions or we go down a squirrel rabbit, you know, squirrel in a meeting. And so it's not like I'm out here all alone, deer in the headlights. I very much have a safety catch net in Glenn and Jen.
I have done it for a little while.
You know, just a bit,
few years.
A minute or two.
Well, you're doing a terrific job. Thank you for taking over for me. I really appreciate it.
Well, thank you for creating all this so that I could grow up to tell people that I'm just a grown up weird horse girl, which Glenn, I know you're not into fashion the way I am, but it's this horse girl fall. Has anybody told you this yet? Like,
no.
It's in vogue. It is everywhere. It is horse girl fall. And I.
So they're
am
wearing
here to tell
fake
you,
breeches that don't look like
yes,
breeches and with
yes.
patches where they shouldn't
horses
be patches.
Horses on all the sweaters.
Yeah.
But you guys, this is breaking news. Horses in the morning. I'm going to take full credit for all of this. That horse girl fall in fashion is because of my promotion. And I just wanted to tell you all that you're welcome, that we are
finally
getting
a commission on all of that.
Oh God, could you imagine?
From the major manufacturers, you're not getting a commission.
I even saw someone was unboxing a Birkin saddle for their horse, which a Birkin handbag is like hundreds of thousands of dollars. It's horse girls. We're here. We're having a moment.
That is not a horse girl that listens to this show.
No, but we can still laugh at her.
Yes, we can. I mean, we thought it was a lot when, was it Ferrari came out with the saddle? We thought that one was like $22,000 or something. We thought that was a lot.
Oh, Gucci did
yeah,
one.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. All right. Well, thank you, Ashley, for now being the boss. I appreciate it. And
don't worry, listeners. If you have complaints, you can still send those to Jen at horseradionetwork.com.
We did speak to some listeners recently, too, that were very concerned about me disappearing after you came on. And as you've
right.
seen, that hasn't happened. I'm still doing Horses in the Morning. I'm actually still in charge of all of Horses in the Morning, which is Tuesdays and Thursdays and all of that, too. So I'm still here, still doing her
You're
thing.
You're not allowed to go anywhere,
no.
really.
Jamie and
so.
I'd be bored if we didn't have to do this show 3 days a week, you know? We'd be bored. So thank you, everybody. Hey, good news story to end the day. This happened a little while ago, but they've done something cool with it, which is why I'm bringing it up now. A Pennsylvania family discovered about 2 hours into a trip to New Hampshire that their cat named Ray Ray had somehow climbed on the roof of their van and traveled with them for nearly 100 miles on the roof of their van.
Oh, my gosh.
I don't know
gosh.
If they had one of those, you know, roof racks up there and maybe he was tucked in under that or something. He didn't blow off.
I'm just picturing a kitten like white knuckling on top of a van.
So they only realized that he was up there after they stopped for gas. And after, and then you hear a meow on your roof. They discovered Ray Ray was up there, and they, instead of heading back the 100 miles, by the way, anybody that knows that trip through New Jersey, you don't go back. Mm-hmm. No, you just keep going. So they did. They took him on the trip, and they took him all the way on their trip, and apparently Ray Ray had an adventure, and they documented the whole thing on social media, and they had pictures and video. He made appearances. He apparently even crossed the finish line of a marathon with them.
Oh my gosh.
He went in the sights through New York and all the way up to the north, and they decided that it became such a popular thing on social media, they wrote a children's book, and it's now out, and it's titled The Cat Who Wouldn't Stray. So Ray Ray is now in a children's book, and it was just a cool story, and they did something cool with it. So if you want to get that book, it's called The Cat That Wouldn't Stray. Be a good kid's book for you. Don't get it, because I'm already buying it for your son, so don't tell him, okay?
Okay, I won't.
It's already on my Amazon list, so you can't buy it. All right. I got to get Levi something. He's now my buddy.
He is. He loves his Funko Glennie.
They all love me. Then I stop loving them about junior high level. That's when you can have him, when he gets obnoxious and rude.
He's stinky.
Yeah, that's right. When he won't take a shower for 3 weeks and when he's rude, you can have him back then.
Thanks, bud.
All right. Thanks, everybody. We'll talk to you tomorrow. We have Equine Affair episode, fun episode for you from Equine Affair. We have a show jumper that's very, very famous on social media that joins us tomorrow. I loved talking to her. And she's one of the top show jumpers for her country. That's a tease. And also hundreds of thousands of followers on TikTok and Instagram. So we're going to chat with her tomorrow. And then I'm going to be back with a brand new co-host who has never filled in before. She's on the Western side of life. But I loved her. I had her on as a guest before in one of my shows. And I just asked her to do this. And I know she's a little nervous. So she's going to have to do really bad ads. So we'll see how that goes. I usually don't do that. I usually don't throw co-hosts for the first time on this show. I mean, this show is a tough one to co-host anyway. But to throw them in the deep end and have them do a Friday. But
you sink or swim, baby.
I thought for her, we're just going to throw her in the deep end and see what happens. I think she can handle it. So that'll be Kylie will be joining me on Friday. We'll see how that goes. And then Jamie will be back on Monday. Bye, Ashley. Thanks for filling in.
Always.
What's the name of your show?
Oh, gosh. Quarter Horse Show and Sleep Stories for Equestrians.